You are now watching Islam. Dun, 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 dun.
فطنا طلقوا الدنيا وخافوا الفتنا نظروا فيها فلما علموا أنها ليست لحي وطنا جعلوها لجة واتخذوا صالح الأعمال فيها سفنا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما اللهم علمنا الحق وارزقنا اتباعه. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, I know it's a hard seat to fill. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the Shaykh speedy healing. I know it's a tough day to be here. Some very important things going on at this time, but may Allah bless the brothers and sisters who have found it within themselves to skip such an important event and attend to my humble lecture. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this from myself and from you. And I was just thinking today, subhanAllah, how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing me to give lectures. Actually, yesterday I was in Dubai giving a lecture at the American University of Dubai. And subhanAllah, within me think that it's kind of hard to be able to speak in these days about Islam. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors where you don't think, these doors are not. So I was wondering, how come I'm getting these blessings. I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this from me, inshallah. First and foremost, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. Second, alhamdulillah, it was actually my wife who put this lecture together pretty much for me. She kind of gathered all the hadith about this topic. So may Allah accept it from her. Last week it was the lecture was cancelled. We were kind of both disappointed. She's like, I was gonna get some hasanat. Alhamdulillah that subhanAllah did this. Allah doesn't leave things untied. Today's topic, it's a topic that is actually neglected by most people, by our ummah today. It's such an important topic, Allah, that is something dear to my heart and to every Muslim heart, I'm sure to all of us, because it's something very important. And it's a topic that it seems that even most the majority of people, of knowledgeable people, are not talking about. And there's a reason behind that. And Allah a'lam, but the reason, from my humble understanding, from my experiences in life, is that as Muslims today, we are preoccupied with other things. Brothers and sisters, the topic for today is love. Love. And it's something that's not talked too much about. If you think about how many lectures, how many khutbah have you heard about love, it seems that it's something restricted to other faiths, right? Christianity, Islam, blah, blah, blah. We'll kind of get a little bit into that. But, and I've been asked this question many times, how come you guys don't talk about love? Why is it there's no love in Islam? And I thought about it, and that was a question that was asked to me very early into my deen. I was quite early when I became Muslim, and some people would come to me and say, how come there's no love in Islam? How come Allah doesn't love you? And I was wondering, I said, yeah, how come? And that prompted me to actually do some research on this topic, and to see the ocean of love that exists within Islam. And of course, rightly so, because Islam is the truth, so obviously, we have to definitely talk about this topic. But it seems that we don't talk so much about love because we're busy with loving other things. So it's not part of our deen. It seems that we're so busy with our cars, is it halal to buy this car or take this mortgage? Right? We're really, and I'm not trying to put this down, please don't get me wrong, we're busy with fiqh. And this is, of course, fiqh is so important. But it seems because of our love for dunya, our engagement in dunya, that the scholars are busy with trying to understand the fiqh and putting it in perspective, making qiyas, making different analogies, trying to look into the past and trying to gain understanding of how to deal with these new topics that are cropping up. You know, our wives want to get, you know, plastic surgery, or there's this illness or that thing, or you're sick, or you want to get this loan, or you want to buy this, or you want to eat that, or can you go to this country and do this or that. And our scholars are so busy with all these new topics, cloning and, you know, gene pools, and so many things that are coming up. So we're so engaged in this. We forgot sometimes about the very important things, such as love. And really, subhanAllah, this is a topic that comes under aqidah, our belief, our core belief, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His attributes. Love and mercy are part of His attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His beautiful names is Al-Wadud, the most loving. Wadud in Arabic is His divine love. It's not even just hub, you know. Hub is like, تُحِبُّ هَذَا تُحِبُّ شَيْءٍ, right? Do you like this, right? Can we just say to like Him? But, Wadud is divine love. It's something that is so much greater than just. So this really, our lack in talking about this topic is a neglect of our aqeedah, of understanding who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is love? Does Allah love us? Do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we know that? What do we feel when we hear the word of Allah, when we hear Islam, when we hear comments of Islam? Do our hearts tremble with love, or is it just fear? Do our hearts get filled with emotions of love? And if not, then what's the problem? Why not? That's something I cannot answer for all of you. This is just a general thing I was talking about, being involved with things. But if we look at our lives, right, the most thing that concerns, when we do a research, when we ask questions, it's most benignable, like, oh, Shaykh so and so, how do I know? What are the signs that Allah loves me? It's mostly like, you know, I have a question, you know, I'm working in this place, is it halal for me to work here? You know, we're dealing with this transaction, that transaction. You know, I ate this, or my friend's not Muslim, and, you know, he's cooking for me. Can I hire a cook who's not, you know, halal? None of these things are not important, but really our questions surround these issues, right? You know, can I send my, you know, daughter overseas to study, or my son, can he go here or there? But have we ever asked, you know, the scholars, you know, oh Shaykh, how can I love Allah more? What can I do to get closer to Allah? What are the signs of Allah's love? You know, from a personal point of view, coming into Islam, I mean, I was exposed to obviously Christianity, and I want to talk a little bit about this because, you know, it seems that when people talk about Islam, it seems that they look at Islam as something very cold, you know, very dogmatic, very, you know, just movement to just pray and, you know, move like this, move like that, do this, you gotta do that, it's this one, that one. And there's no spirit. But this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed for this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a balance. There's a balance between the body and the soul. There's the balance between love, mercy, justice, and punishment, fear, hope. There has to be. As I grew up in Christianity, right, they say that God is love. And subhanAllah, I always had some issue about that. And I looked at love in Christianity, in Hinduism, in Buddhism. You know, the issue of agape, for example, divine love. And I remember I wrote a paper about it in grade 12 in my philosophy course, about all love is from God. I wrote the title of the paper. I remember I got a very good grade on it. But really the problematic question came when people are saying that God is love. What does that mean really? Is God really love? Does God really love anyone and everyone just for the sake of loving them? Right? As some people claim that God has basically, there's no limits to His love. It's basically unconditional love. There's no condition to His love. Really? But that can be, it's a very emotional, you know, response. It's a very emotional doctrine that is made by men. Because anyone, any student of knowledge, anyone who attempts to read any religious book will find something that refutes this in no time. And the Quran talks about this issue. And it's very important, brothers and sisters, because you have to understand that a bird cannot fly with only one wing. And people have gone into extreme love of God. And just love, 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 love. Everything is love. God loves you. Don't worry, God loves you. Just come do this, come do that. They've gone astray, actually. But Islam has offered a balance. You have love and you have fear. There's reward and there's punishment, right? And those are the two wings that drive, you know, a believer. And hope in the middle as the bottom. So, the thing that refutes the concept that God is love and there's no condition to His love is the fact that He punishes me. Right? And not just any punishment. I can punish my children, but I still love them. But it will be a, you know, it's a punishment, as you know, maybe a tap here and there, or, you know, go on timeout or something like that, right? But no one can say that you love someone and you take him and throw him into the fire. Would I take my child? I love my child. Would I take him and throw him into fire? I wouldn't. So Allah says in refutation of the Christians and the Jews who say, we are God's most beloved. We are His children, His most beloved. And Allah says to the Prophet, tell them, then why does Allah punish you for your sins? Why would Allah throw you into hellfire? Right? The Christians believe that there's going to be hellfire. If He loves everyone, right? Allah loves everyone. That's what the point of even a person even looking into any other faith or Christianity, right? Well, you know, because I'm from God, you say God loves me, I'm okay where I am, right? But that's the thing, it's not true, right? Allah says in the Quran, who He loves. Allah loves those who repent from sin. Allah loves those who purify themselves, those who do good deeds, those who are righteous, those who are sincere, who are truthful, who have good characteristics. Right? You find another very contradictory statement. And I'm not trying to, you know, focus on these things. And I remember my wife told me, make sure you don't focus just on bashing, you know, the other religions, right? But it's very fundamental to understand why Islam is the truth. Because the package of Islam is not just comprehensive and balanced, but it's full. It deals with the reality of life, brothers and sisters. It's something, you know, you can say, oh, God is love. I mean, really. It's something that is up here, and then reality of life is down here. And how are you going to connect the two? You can never, right? For example, you know, love your enemy. How can you love your enemy? The devil is your enemy. Can you love the devil? No, you can't. You wouldn't, right? You know, the devil is our worst enemy, right? But yet one faith says, love your enemy. You cannot love your enemy. That's the reality. You cannot. It's actually you hate your enemy, right? You dislike your enemy. So I looked at all these faiths, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism. What did they have to offer in terms of love? And I found them lacking. I found them lacking in so many different pieces. And then, they lacked because they didn't have a concept of who is God, a proper understanding of who is God. They just, it seems that they picked what felt comfortable, you know? Well, God loves me, right? Gives you comfort, gives you, you know, God saved me. Right? You just kind of, it seems that you're seeking some kind of comfort level. Where you're going to go through your life doing what you're doing and not having to worry that maybe one day you're going to meet this God and He's gonna, not going to be too happy with you. If we don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we don't know who is Allah, who is God, how can we worship it properly? How can our hearts beat in His worship? If we don't know who Allah is, who is our, who are we praying to? If we pray today, we're going to pray. Who are we praying to? How can you love, if you don't know who your mom is, can you love your mom really? You don't even know. If you don't know so and so, how can you care for them? How can you love them? This is another thing where we fall short. We don't really know who Allah is. We don't really understand. We think of Allah as someone so far. Someone, you know, as some of the philosophers say, Allah is everywhere. Allah is everywhere. Really? Alhamdulillah. It's not in my pocket. Right? So the scholars commented on the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of the attributes of Allah. But really, when you study and you understand who your Lord is, Allah, you cannot help it but to love Him. When you understand, what does it mean, Ar-Rahman? Why does Allah say Ar-Rahman so many times, Ar-Rahim? Why? Really, it's first from His love for His creation. Why is it used almost Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim here, so many times? It's first from His love, of course. His mercy is so vast. And mercy and love are interconnected. We need to know who Allah is. We need to know who is Al-Wadud. Who is the most loving? There's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ عَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. The scholars have looked at these, you know, combinations of the attributes of Allah. Why Allah says Rahman Rahim? Why does it say وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ? You know, many places in the Quran the names are connected. Why? So the scholars have analyzed, for example, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودِ. He is the Al-Ghafoor is like, I mean, His mercy, His forgiveness is such that basically it's done, right? He forgave your sins. And Wadood is loving. So the scholar said, Allah forgives us, it's Ghafoor, because He's Wadood. He forgives وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ because He's Al-Wadud. So He forgives us because He loves us. Right? His mercy in terms of forgiving us is because He actually cares for us. He loves us so much, especially the believers. And subhanAllah, you see that even the creation, the rest of the creation, the non-Muslims, the non-believers, those who are committing the worst of sins and kufr, Allah is not pleased with them. But there's still there an open door for love for them to enter. If they so desire, all they need to do is say, "I'm sorry." To change, it's a small. Allah, it can happen within seconds. And Allah, not only will love them, He will love them so much, and they can be the worst person ever, and they've just made tawbah and have changed their ways, and Allah will love them so much. And we'll see, inshallah, some of the hadith about this matter. If we know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, there's no way we cannot love Him. And today if we look at who do we love, movie stars, singers, cricket stars, and this and that, and we know, we want to imitate them, we want to be like them, we know their names, we know everything about them, date of birth, so on and so forth. But how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How about His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, subhanAllah, when you read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you look at the narrations where the Prophet is praying, and he's crying, and his beard is wet. And I remember the first time I read some of these hadith, I was like, you know, maybe it's an exaggeration, you know, like the beard gets wet. Till one day, I've seen someone crying and their beard is wet, literally dripping with tears. And mashallah, he had a nice beard. And this brother, may Allah bless him, he's very emotional. He loves Allah so much. Every time he gives a khutbah, he's just crying. And I remember sitting in the khutbah and seeing that. I was like, subhanAllah, what does this brother have that he can do that? Is he putting up a show? How can he do that? How can he just start crying like that when he speaks about Allah? and your beard actually gets wet. And when I talk to the brother, SubhanAllah, there's something in his speech that when he speaks about love, you know, when you're in love with someone, SubhanAllah, you know, and we, you know, tell that we're all in love with our wives, and you know, and when you speak about that person, you're kind of like, you know, like, SubhanAllah, every time this person mentions Allah's name, it's like he's getting butterflies in his stomach, you know? And I realize that because he knows who Allah is. He could tell you about his names, his attributes, the hadith, the beautiful hadith. But the thing is, we don't know so much. We're lacking so much in that field of understanding Allah. Why the Prophet said he would go to the extent that he went, praying the whole night. How many of us have prayed the whole night in their life? But he loved Allah so much. He could do that, right? When you love someone so much, you can do anything, right? If you love someone, your wife, let's say, you know, some sports star, maybe you're going to sit in the line to wait for that person for hours and hours. People in the West sit in lines for days to buy the computer that they love, right? They have this Black Friday event in the West, where basically people sit at like Best Buy and all these, you know, stores. You're gonna get this computer. Everyone loves, oh, it's the new computer. And wallahi, they'll stay for a day and a half because they love that thing so much. And they'll be there, you know, at the end, enter it, and they get it, they get their hands on it. And they're sitting there like smiling for a picture, you know, like you're the first one who got it. Looking at the air. And SubhanAllah, they spent a day and a half. I'm giving this to myself today. When was the last time I spent the whole night praying to Allah? In hoping, knowing that Allah says that in the last third of the night He descends. He descends to the sama dunya. He asks the people, who is there to make dua to me? Who is there to ask forgiveness that I may forgive them? Ask me anything and I will give you. Allah says, right? But that's, again, we don't know who Allah is with. We don't understand. You know, we don't want to think about it. Like, Allah comes down, and Allah loves me, and Allah is merciful, and you know, it's just, Allah is like, it's just so far, right? But Allah says, doesn't say, قُلْ. In every other aspect, when Allah subhanahu, when the Prophet said was asked about Allah or about different things, قُلْ, say to them, Allah, say to them, this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Prophet said, when he was asked about Allah, Allah says, Inni qareeb, I am close. He didn't say qul. So scholars say SubhanAllah didn't even mention that in the linguistic miracle of the Quran, that word qul, tell them or say, even to show. I mean, that word, if it would be there in that sentence, would have made it a bit farther. But Allah, by the way, said, I am close. When my servant asks you about me, then say, tell them I am close. He said, I am close. Right? And so again, the linguists look at that and say, that qul was removed. Allah didn't mention that because that would have just made it a bit farther. Another word to say in between Allah saying that He is close. Look at that, SubhanAllah. Allah is close. Do we feel that? Closer than our jugular vein. It's right here. It's the life-sustaining vein that pumps the blood. Allah says, I'm closer to Him. How? We don't know. We don't know how. We don't need to know how, the details of how. But we need to know that it is true. We need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer than our jugular vein. He is so close. He listens. What does it say? I listen to every supplication. When you say astaghfirullah, you've seen something bad. Allah, we've all seen so many bad things. When we say astaghfirullah, Allah says, I listen. He made istighfar to me right now. I forgive him. I listen to what they invoke. Let them also listen to me. SubhanAllah. I mean, if we live like that, walking through our day, And we understand that concept. This attribute of Allah is closest to us in the manner that fits Him. Why you walk in this dunya with a companion? As the Prophet ﷺ says, I don't care if the whole world is upset with me. Anyone can be upset with me, as long as my Lord is pleasing me. Right? Allah is the companion of the believer. Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He calls Jibreel alayhi salam. Now think about it. Muhammad or Ahmed or Jibreel or, you know, any one of us. Allah loves us. Or Maryam or Isa or anyone. And He calls Jibreel alayhi salam. Now, I mean, you can't picture this, but just try to, I'm not trying to, you know, to go into it, but just try to somehow understand that Allah is calling Jibreel. And He says, Jibreel, I love this word. I love Muhammad. I love Ahmad. I love Isa. I love Maryam. I love so and so, Salvi and this and that. Therefore, love Him. It's not Jibreel loves you. You got another bird, another one, another creation who loves you. So Jibreel loves him. Then Jibreel calls out in heaven. Now imagine Jibreel calling out in heaven. I mean, don't imagine, but try to feel it. Say, Allah loves Muhammad. Allah loves Maryam. Therefore, you love them. And the inhabitants of heaven, they love him. Who are the inhabitants of heaven? The ones who were created from light. He, the Prophet ﷺ, said then acceptance is established for him on earth. People on earth will love him. And if Allah does not look like a servant, He calls him Jibreel and says, I don't like so and so. So Jibreel doesn't like him. And Jibreel calls on the heaven through heaven and says, I don't like so and so. But just try to understand this, subhanAllah. The angels will love you. The people on earth will love you. But the Prophet ﷺ said, as long as Allah loves me, I don't care anyone else who doesn't love me. But today it seems like it's the opposite. We just worry like, oh man, what is it like? You know, this boss think about me or this guy think about me. Of course we have to be our best. But there's sometimes people are not happy with us. Sometimes because we are on the haq. Because we are trying to follow the truth. And then we try to bend the truth. And we try to bend our deen. Brothers and sisters, actually, you know, this topic, when I think about it, and I think about my own life, how bad I am, and it gives me so much hope to know that Allah is so merciful. That Allah created for you a way where you can struggle and you can earn His mercy. His mercy is not that hard to earn. But who's willing to do it? Some people, you can never earn God's mercy. Really? Why is His mercy so little, so small, so tiny that you cannot earn it? His mercy, it says, His mercy encompasses everything. Everything. Punishment will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Quran, His punishment will touch a few, will touch some people, but His mercy encompasses everyone. And we don't have to go far to understand it. If we look around us, look at ourselves with our children, the love that Allah has put, the mercy has put between us, between husband and wife. We look at the animal kingdom. The crocodile can carry its baby in its jaw. That, and if it just touches you, the pressure is like tons with severe arm, your hand. Yet with that mercy that Allah has descended upon earth, Allah says, I descend one part of His mercy and He kept 99 from the day of judgment. I mean, this is not loving Allah. Why did He make it 50-50? Because He knows us. He created us. He loves us. that one part of His mercy, of His love that He's sending, the mama crocodile can carry that little baby, tiny thing that you can just squish between its jaws. And if it pulls its jaws on your hand, on any food, just cut it like a slice. Can you imagine this cut? Any parents would be willing to give their lives for their children. Even in the animal kingdom, no. Parents sacrifice the animals for their babies. SubhanAllah. Is this not a loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is Allah not love? How do we gain Allah's love? Well, brothers and sisters, not that hard actually. Maybe easier said than done. But still, it's not too hard. It can't be done. Allah did not. And when you know, people say, well, it's so hard. It's hard for when we look around and so many people are away from it. So many people are not interested. They're interested in getting money, interested in getting experience, job experience, degrees, and so on. But not in getting Allah's love. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسَعَ Allah did not burden a soul more than He can handle. Yes, we can do this. But will we? Allah says, nothing makes Allah love more from His servant than doing what is obligatory upon Him. His farz. Right? You pray, subhanAllah, you pray, and that is dear to Allah. And Allah says that His servant, my servant, continues to draw near to me with the nawafil so that I shall love him. And now, I mean, let's look a bit deeper into this. Why? You know, when you do your fard, and then you do enough, you know, if you see, if you take care of your prayer, if you take, and I'm not just saying about prayers, your zakah, your fasting, your sadaqah, your smiling, right? Your this and that. Going for Hajj, interacting with people in a good manner. Isn't it fard upon us to be nice to each other? To be good to each other? Isn't it fard upon us to do these beautiful things? I mean, there's so many. When we do it properly, and we do it sincerely, people benefit from us. Your brothers start loving you. You love your brothers. Sisters love each other. This community loves us. People start developing and changing. Societies change as a whole. See, Allah didn't put just like fard, just pray. There's a reason behind these things. Allah doesn't need us really to pray for Him. Doesn't need us to do this fast or do that or do this. You know, if you commit a sin or something, you can expiate that by freeing a slave or by fasting this or by feeding that. But you see, when you start tasting the sweetness of this, you change. You change. And with you changing, everything changes. And there's goodness that happens. You see, brothers and sisters, Islam teaches something very important. Belief in Allah, of course. First thing. First thing. And nothing can happen without belief in Allah. And Allah is the owner of everything. He's a Malikul Mulk. But Allah also teaches us to do something. To trust ourselves. Have belief in yourself as well. You're not only evil. Allah, we don't believe in this thing. Wow, we're just sinners and just everyone's just sinning. No, there's so much goodness in this world. This is from Allah's love that this goodness is, you know, we're not just dirty rags, really, brothers and sisters. How can we be? Look around us. Look at what's going on. And this, of course, it comes from the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, when Allah loves someone, when I love Him, I shall be His hearing with which He shall hear, His sight with which He shall see, His hands with which He shall hold, His feet with which He shall walk. And if he asks something of me, I shall surely give it to him. And if he takes refuge in me, I shall certainly grant it to him. And think about it. Allah will be with you, brothers and sisters. If Allah loves you, Allah will be with you. He will walk with you. He will be with you in a manner that befits Him. Think about this beautiful thing. Who can hurt you? Who can touch you? Who can take the job away from you, the money, the health? Who? if Allah is with you. I mean, think about it. You know when you're like young and you have your like tribe behind you and like, oh, no one can touch me. So I got my boys with me, you know, my people. How can we not understand that we have here the one who controls the life of the entire world? The one who can say, kun, and it happens. Kun fayakun. It happens. Can you imagine? Perhaps that's the whole world, and you can imagine, just think about it. The whole world in front of you, and you're sitting by yourself, and you're smiling, and you can do nothing to them. Nothing. Nothing. And they're all paralyzed. They can't even move because Allah doesn't want to. He's the one who controls every little electrical impulse that happens in their muscle. Just think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent so much love in this world. And so much forgiveness. Allah says, oh my slaves, you sin in the morning and evening, and I forgive your sin. So call on me, I will forgive you all your sins. Many, it's so important. People go, oh Vishnu, oh Brahma, oh Jesus, oh this forgiving. Have people forgotten who created them? Have people forgotten who created the Isa? Have people forgotten? To who did they pray when they were so young that they were not yet influenced by all these things? When they're saying, oh God. Have people forgotten? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends His hands in the night to forgive the sinners of the day, and He extends His hands in the day to forgive the sinners of the night. But Allah says, ask Him, call on me, He says, I will forgive your sins. So this is a very important part in our understanding of who Allah is. Of how can Allah love us? How can we love Allah? The fundamental difference between our deen and many other deens. Who do we seek repentance from? Do we go to and ask repentance from some person? There was a man, a sahaba, who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he caught some birds. Some baby birds. And he said that the mama bird is basically fallen. And the Prophet said, relieved, let them go. And he let them go, and the mama bird came and basically took them. And the man was so surprised, there was a surprised look on his face. And the Prophet said, are you surprised at the love of this bird for its babies? He said, wallahi, Allah loves you so much more than this. Just think about it. Just look at how much you love your kids. Allah loves you more than that. How many times more? You cannot even think about it. You cannot even conceptualize. But really, just to understand it, just think of how much you love someone. Allah loves you so much, brothers and sisters. And subhanAllah, when you commit a sin, sometimes you'll remember that sin for the rest of your life, right? That mistake, I wish I would never do. And you'll haunt you till the day you will die. And maybe when you're resurrected, you're going to think, oh my God, maybe Allah's going to punish me for a sin. God. But subhanAllah, you cannot never forgive yourself for this one mistake that you made. And Allah is more merciful to ourselves than we are to ourselves. He's more merciful to us than we are to ourselves. Because He's al-afoon. And He forgives. And that can never happen. It's done. We cannot forget, subhanAllah. It's not that Allah will forget, but it's never. It's erased. It's done. But from us, it can never be erased. This is Allah's love. Allah, you want to give sometimes a glad tidings to those who are sinners. They say, man, come to pray, brother. Oh, man, I'm too sinful. I'm hypocritic. I'm going to pray. How can I make namaz and praise Allah right now? I'm sinful. I don't want to be hypocrites, no? Give them glad tidings. Give them glad tidings. Say, all you have to do is say, do you want Allah to love you? Allah will love you. Just ask them for Allah. Just make tawbah right now. Allah will love you. Do you want Allah to love you? It's so simple. Just say astaghfirullah. Like I heard something ajib, something so, you know, one of the scholars was giving khutbah, and he said, in the West, a lot of brothers and sisters are facing this big fitna of watching bad things on internet and on the TVs. And I'm talking about bad things, not just any movies. And he said, it was so straight in that khutbah. I mean, you think that, you know, why is he speaking about this? But say, khutbah. He said, brother and sister, the man who's watching that bad thing at the time he's watching, even if he's watching, they should say astaghfirullah. While he's watching, say astaghfirullah. Just say astaghfirullah. Just try to stop at that time. Try to say astaghfirullah at that moment. SubhanAllah, you do something so bad, and you might be able to cut it down and say astaghfirullah. And you've just been like eligible for halftime, just like 2 seconds ago. And by you saying, really saying astaghfirullah, stopping that, right now Allah loves you. I mean, how can we not love Allah when Allah loves us so much? How can our hearts not beat for Allah when Allah loves us so much? What is Valentine's Day, the day of love? Every second for us is a love day, a love moment. People try to isolate a day of the year to say this is love day. It's what have we become? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, His love is up for grabs for anyone. Maybe the worst sinner can turn his life around within seconds. Within seconds. So now let's ask ourselves, how much do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we really love? When you hear Allah, you know, I was watching this cartoon in Arabic, Ashab al-Qur, you know? It's got a weird, weird song in it. It's kind of creepy, but you know, the young guy, he's a magician, right? He's studying with a magician. We know all of the story, right? He's the one who kills the beast, and, you know, he says in the name of Allah, he says Bismillah, and, you know, he's making a test, and in the end he dies. And he tells the person, if you want to kill me, you have to say in the name of the Lord, this boy, right? But this boy in the movie, in the cartoon, is the first time that he meets the old man, the worshiper of Allah. And he enters that cave, and he says, "Man hunak?" You know, who's there? And then the man says, you know, "Udkhul," you know, enter with salam, enter with peace. And the guy enters, he's kind of like cool, you know, he's like making strays, and starts to fire, and his balls disappear, he's like sitting like, "Who are you? You don't know who I am?" I'm like, you know, I'm starting with like, you know, Malik al-Shaytun, you know, the name of the wizard. Like, you should know me, like, right? And he's sitting kind of like funny, you know? And, you know, subhanAllah, it's a cartoon, but, you know, the old man, mashallah, he looks so amazing. And he basically, the guy says, "Who are you?" He basically says, I'm a worshiper of Allah. And he says, the boy says, "Who is Allah?" And, oh my, I don't know, I just love to see that scene, because the man kind of goes, "Allah." You know, like, you tell, he loves Allah. He says, "Allah, you know, God of salawati wa ta'ala. He's the creator of heaven." But the way he says it, if you cannot stop, but like, I just want to play it over and over again. And it's a cartoon. But subhanAllah, let it be a cartoon. He says, "Allah." The way he says, when he speaks about Allah, is amazing. It's something that I don't see myself when many of us these days. Just saying, we say, "Allah." You know, he's like, he kind of like puts his book on the side, looks at the child, this guy's tricking, and he's so into it. And he tells him, you know, he's the one who created everything. The stars in the sky, and the plants. He's the one who gives life and death. And the boy, you see his face from being all tricky, changing. Slowly, slowly his face is changing. Because, you see, when you have a light in your heart, and you have a light in your heart that you can walk with, you can pass that light. When you have love in your heart, you can pass love to others. When you lack, you know, you can't. When you love Allah, people will notice something in you. You'll notice something different in you. Right? They'll find that warmth. And they'll be attracted to it. They cannot but be. That's why the boy keeps going back to that man. Teach me, sis. Teach me Allah. And he's walking, you know, another side. He's walking. And finally, for the first time in his life, he's looking at the sky. And we've all, I mean, when was the last time we looked at the sky and we felt funny in our stomachs? You know? You know, we're surrounded by so many buildings and so many, you know, things that we even barely look at the sky to see how beautiful it is, you know? But this boy walks outside and he looks at the sky and he looks at the creation of Allah and he can see those attributes of the Creator. And he's walking towards the old, you know, wizard, and he sees all these evils that are happening that maybe he passed so many times by them. For the first time, he realized that people are committing dhulm, not just to themselves, but to Allah, to this amazing, beautiful, loving Creator, and that he is in the wrong. And you know what? Just everything slows down. And the words of the old man are resounding in his mind. Oh Allah, brothers and sisters, I just want to end with this topic. I mean, I could, you know, go on. But, you know, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to bless us with His love. You know, I mean, definitely, you know, I'm not qualified, I mean, or, you know, to speak on this topic of His love. But, you know, we need to do it. I mean, we need to teach our kids to love Allah. We need to teach our kids. I mean, they're right now, they're not muqallaf, you know, they're not to be accountable yet. And we need to teach them that Allah loves them. We need to teach them that they should love Allah. We need to say this word, love. I love you. Allah loves you, you know, before they go to sleep. You know, we need to use those settings when we see something happening on the street and tell our kids, you know, look at that. You see a bird taking care of the little baby or something. Look at that, my son or my daughter. Allah loves you more than that. But we don't say that. It's like, oh, Allah's going to punish you. Yes, we need to keep that in mind. We need to keep that in mind. It has to be a balance. It can't just be all punishment, punishment. Because that's not Allah. And His mercy is above, actually. It should be more about mercy and love than about punishment. Because He Himself says that. He saved 99 parts of mercy for Himself on the day of judgment. Getting to the point that people think that Khalas, I'm destroyed, I'm done. Allah says, go in my Jannah. Enter. The person, what? How come? Look at all those bad deeds on one side of the scale. What's that little card on the other side of the scale? La ilaha illallah. Go to Jannah. We don't know what's when in our life. A little deed that we thought is so little, but it was so big for Allah. But see, we tend to look down on small deeds and say, why should I, you know, like help this lady who's like struggling with a stroller, you know, with her baby to go up the stairs in the car? Why should I help her, you know? Where's her husband? You know, we feel shy to like pick up something and see in the budget of paper, you know? We're like, man, you know, I don't want to show off, it's just the paper, the cleaner will come clean. But maybe that's the one thing that's gonna help you. I mean, you think it's like a paper on the ground. But Allah, to Allah, that might have been your best deed ever. The status of your heart at that time when he did it. Who knows, you know? The prostitute, you know, fed to a dog or gave water to, you know, the different nations. I mean, why? Why that little deed earned her Jannah? It's a dog. We look down at it. You know, subhanAllah, this is not Islam, but in some of our cultures, people like are scared of dogs and look down upon dogs. And, you know, they fed a dog. They gave water to a dog. So, I ask Allah to, you know, to forgive me, but I'll end with this beautiful hadith. And I think this summarizes, inshallah, the condition of mankind in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just listen, give your heart to it, and try to remember His heart. I remember the first time I heard this hadith, I was at a wedding, and subhanAllah, you know, my wife, when I tell her that, you know, about this hadith, that finally she finally, you know, found it. She felt so impressed by this hadith. And she's like, remember that wedding I went to? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I didn't really want you to go to that wedding. Because I know it was going to be like bad. And really, when I walked in, it was like really bad. You know, it's like a, just, you know, a Western, you know, Arabic wedding. But the brother was a good brother. So I said, I'm going to go because he invited me. And you know, I'm sitting there, I'm saying, astaghfirullah, man. You know, I'm going to like have to make, you know, to fast after this, you know, wedding or something like that. But in the midst of all that, you know, we're like about to leave or something. You know, the brothers are like really getting upset. Like, man, like, this is, you know, ridiculous. There's one brother who stood up and he was like, you know, they announced, well, you know, so-and-so's, you know, friend would like to give, you know, just a small 5-minute time. So you see this brother walking in the shawarkas with a turban on his head, nice big beard. And it's like, stands out so much. Because everyone's like in a suit, you know, and shaved, just like, you know. Women, we want to talk about that. And this guy walks, mashallah, with nur on his face, and he quotes this hadith. And subhanAllah, something happened to him. Where like people, you could see that people start feeling ashamed. They kind of start like, look at themselves, what am I doing? But subhanAllah, this brother, when he read this hadith, he had the love in his heart for Allah. He loved Allah, and you could tell that Allah loved him. Because no one said, boo, get off, who are you to preach to us, or something like that. They all kind of lowered their heads, and they listened, nodded their heads, and like, man, it's so true. Listen to the hadith. And this is, just imagine this brother sitting in front of this crowd, just quoting this hadith. This hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, and says, myself, mankind, and jinn are in great serious state. I create them, then they worship other gods that they make for themselves. I bless them with my bounties, and they thank someone else for it, for I send to them. My mercy descends to them, while their evil deeds ascend to me. I endear them with my gifts, even though I have no need for any one of them, while they alienate themselves from me with their sins, even though they are so desperate for my help. Whoever returns to me, I accept him no matter how far he is. And whoever turns away from me, I approach him. Whoever turns away from me, I approach him and call on him. Whoever leaves a sin for my sake, I reward him with many gifts. And whoever seeks to please me, I seek to please him. Whoever acknowledges my will, my power, in whatever he does, I make the iron bent for him. I make the iron bent for his sake. My dear people are those who are with me. Whoever thanks me, I grant him more blessings. Whoever obeys me, I raise him and endear him more. Whoever disobeys me, I keep the doors of my mercy open for him. If he returns to me, I bestow him with my love. Since I love those who repent and purify themselves for my sake. If he does not repent, I still treat him by putting them in hardship. Treat them by putting them in hardship to purify them. Whoever favors me over others, I favor them over others. I reward every single good deed 10 times over, or 700 times over, or countless times over. I count every single bad deed as one. Unless the person repents and asks for my forgiveness, in which case, I forgive even that one. I take into account any little good deed, and I forgive even major sins. My mercy supersedes my anger. My tolerance supersedes my blame. My forgiveness supersedes my punishment, as I am more merciful with my slaves than a mother with her child. This is hadith quoted by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in Madarij al-Salihin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those prevent. Like, there's just no stopping to them. Every time, no matter how big our sins are, because Allah tells us He's going to forgive us. So we just say astaghfirullah. We ask Allah to forgive us for our sins. We've made many sins. And we ask Allah to look at those little deeds that we've done, the good that we've done, and inshallah take that into consideration, and to love us when we repent, and to bestow upon us His love, and when we love Him, and the love of those whom He loves, and the love of the things that He loves. Jazakallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you, love me, love all the believers, and inshallah, we ask Allah to all those who are away from Him to come back to Him. Bring them back. Allah knows best who deserves what. He's the one who created us. He's the one who knows everything about us. There's nothing, not one leaf falls except that He knows. Not one little thing moves except that it's written in a clear record. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you. And love us all. Jazakallah khair. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And it's said in the Qur'an. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق